All right, Mr. Chairman, I believe you're going to have a quorum. Your recording started and you are streaming.
All right, thanks, Jack. I'll go ahead and call the meeting to order. And can we please do a roll call?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Representative Nguyen. Jagadishan Krishnamurthy. Doug Lang for Brian Kirkland.
Here.
Eddie Cook.
Here.
David Byers.
Here.
J.R. Sloan.
Here.
Lev Gonick. Rebecca Pereira for Richard Stavnik.
Here.
Ryan Murray.
I am here.
Mr. Chairman, you have a minimum quorum of 5. So if we lose anybody, we'll have to take note of that on any voting items.
All right, thanks. So I'll ask the members that if you do need to step away, please drop a note in the chat for us so that we're aware. Again, welcome everybody to the August meeting for ITAC. I'll go ahead and ask staff, did we receive any conflict of interest forms for any of the items on the agenda today?
We have not, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, and then I will ask all member representatives that are present in reviewing the agenda, if any of you has an item that you think could be a potential conflict, would you please self-identify now? If there are none, I will take that as there are no outstanding conflicts apparent. All right, I will want to remind folks that we do follow public meeting law relative to this meeting format. We do provide a link in the agenda for anyone to submit comments, and the staff will disposition those. With that, we will go ahead and step into our first item for business, which will be approval of our June 21 recording and the June 21 executive session meeting minutes as the official records of our previous meeting. We did not meet in July.
Mr. Chair, this is Eddie. I move to approve both the regular meeting and the executive meeting minutes.
Thank you, Eddie. Do we have a second?
This is Jaggy. I second, Chair.
Thank you, Jaggy. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? All right, thank you. All right, with that, folks, we will step into our first item up for review and approval, which will be the Department of Economic Security bringing forward the DAS Central Registry or Central Employment Registry Project.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. My name is Bob Mussey. I'm an engagement manager with the Department of Administration. I'm joined here today by members of the Department of Economic Security who will introduce themselves shortly, followed by a brief overview of their project. Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, the Arizona Department of Economic Security's Division of Aging and Adult Services is requesting approval for their DAS Central Employment Registry. DES will lead the development of and enhancement to the existing DPS public services portal to improve the level of protection for vulnerable individuals by incorporating more extensive background check steps. At this time, I'll turn it over to the project team to present additional information regarding the proposed project and answer any questions that you may have.
Thank you, Bob. Appreciate it. Mr. Chair, members, thank you for the time today. For us is a project that stems from a governor's task force that was created about 2 years ago to deal with adult and elderly abuse. There were a number of reports that were needing follow-up and really being able to provide individuals and providers of services with a more readily available access to information about fingerprint clearance cards. So with us today, I have Stephanie Dowdell, who is our project manager within DES for the project, and others as outlined on the slide here. We can go ahead and move to the next slide, please. So as talked about a little bit, the basis of the project that we're seeking approval for today is employers today get a fingerprint clearance from DPS and our Adult Protective Services and Child Protective Services registries. Those staff that those providers hire have to go through that fingerprint clearance card. They get their clearance card and then they have to annually renew that. Unfortunately, what doesn't happen today is that providers are not notified and they don't necessarily have access to information when an offense, which either suspends or results in the termination of that fingerprint clearance card, occurs between that annual check. And that really is a gap in what we need to be providing to those who serve the most vulnerable amongst the population. So what this project will do is go through and create that central repository for that information and really offer providers the ability to go out and check on a regular basis, more than annually, to make sure that anyone that they have that is engaged with a vulnerable adult or child can find out whether that fingerprint clearance card has either been suspended or revoked. One of the things that we'll be leveraging is a portal that the Department of Public Safety has already created due to some security concerns around that particular portal. We're not able to fully just leverage that and add on functionality, unfortunately, but we will be leveraging the data that goes into that portal for the purposes of this project. The benefit to not just the state agency, but the providers and the public is that we will have individuals that have either had their card suspended or revoked immediately being able to be removed from serving vulnerable individuals. Next slide. The proposed solution, building off of the successful portal that the Department of Public Safety has developed and implemented, we will utilize the same provider to go through and create a mirrored portal that will encompass not only the DPS information that's needed, but also the Department of Child Safety and the Department of Economic Security information related to the CPS Central Registry and the Adult Protective Services Registry. The data will include the fingerprint clearance card status from DPS, as well as the Arizona Department of Health Services AZ CareCheck website. So it'll really bring together all of those data sources into one place that a provider can go to or a state agency can go to determine whether a fingerprint clearance card is in question or not. One of the things that we'll be doing, we'll be adding processes to the existing DPS Protective Services portal accounts to be able to support the APS and DCS registry checks. That will include individual applicant and employee accounts, as well as employer and agency accounts. We'll also be adding new account types for prospective caregivers to request APS registry checks and DCS registry checks. Right now, that is a fairly manual process where a form needs to be filled out and sent to the cognizant agency. In some cases, also the DCS Office of Licensing and Regulation to process those registry checks. So it'll create a much more streamlined process for that entire operation. And then we'll also be adding processes to receive notifications. So we'll not just be relying on providers or agencies to go and check for that information, but we'll also be pushing notifications out when a fingerprint clearance card is either suspended or revoked, or a APS or CPS Central Registry hit is generated. Next slide. So the proposed solution, leveraging again that successful work that DPS has done with their portal, we will use that same vendor to go through and provide essentially a mirrored portal that will add the additional functionality of the CPS and APS central registries and also provide for those notifications that we talked about. The technology itself is a SaaS solution. It will be hosted in the vendor's AWS GovCloud space. It is an Accenture Reach platform. Accenture is the vendor that will be doing the work. There'll be an API between the DPS PSP and the central employment registry that we're talking about today, and it will also be cloud-based. Other interfaces will be with the DCS Guardian registry, that is the CPS central registry, the DCS on-base API call will be done, and then also the DES APS registry. There'll be a file transfer that will be done to the portal. Next slide. Program structure, I won't go into this a whole lot. There's a lot of boxes on the slide, but the key points are DES will have the lead for the project. We'll be engaged with both DCS and our partners at DPS to have the successful outcome of the project. Stephanie Dowdell, who has extensive prior experience with DES, in both an IT administrator and project management role, will be heading up the project. And then we will also involve several areas from within, not just DES, but DCS and DPS for the successful outcome of the project. Next slide. Project responsibilities, again, DES will be the lead for the project, sharing some of that responsibility with DCS. DPS will be a partner in the project. We don't envision having a heavy load on DPS as it relates to this. The advantage that we've got is the same vendor that developed the PSP for DPS will be doing this work, so they already have very integral knowledge of that existing portal. So we'll develop those APIs between the DCS and DES systems, conduct integration testing will be done by both DES and DCS, and then we'll approve the production cutover between the three agencies and capture the production issues post go live. Shared responsibilities will be to develop those user stories, the testing, predominantly that'll be DES and DCS, and then the production implementation, that will be all of the agencies and the vendor, and then providing that post-implementation support for go live. The vendor has pretty much responsibility for the front-to-back development of the portal and making sure that we have a successful go live, and then also hosting and maintaining post-go live that portal. Next slide. Project timeline, subsequent to hopefully approval by the committee, we will immediately begin work with the vendor, going through design sprints starting in mid-October, and then going through the build sprints between late October into the end of January, and then going through integration, security, and performance testing and UAT in mid to late January into February, and then going through implementation and training starting late February into the end of March, and then post-implementation thereafter. Next slide. Project costs, the initial development, predominantly the costs are associated with the vendor staffing to be able to go through and develop the portal, and then the licensing and maintenance fees for year one bring us to about $3.1 million. And then the ongoing maintenance and support will be $1.2 million per year for the next 4 years. Next slide. what success looks like. Of course, having that portal live and being able to go through and provide that critical information to providers and agencies. The communication plan that will be developed for not just agencies, but the providers as well, to make sure that they are aware of the development of the portal and implementation, and then the training plan going forward. Measures that we'll be looking at that will be done for the project, the automated matches to APS registry for 100% of in-scope accounts attained within 30 days of implementation. The same goes for the DCS registry checks, and then decrease the average processing time for DCS central registry checks from 3 business days to 2 within 90 days of implementation. And then automated checks of DCS and APS registries occur at least annually, but they will be done more frequently than that as needed. Next slide. With that, Mr. Chair, members, I will answer any questions that you may have.
All right, thanks, Mark. I will open up to the committee for any questions. Mr. Byers.
Yeah, Mark, I want to understand this a little bit more. So is this a custom built product?
Yes, it will be.
Then after you pay to build it, tell me a little bit more about the $1 million+ licensing fees. If we're paying to build it, what are we paying for in subsequent years to license our own product?
Hosting in the environment, Mr. Byers, will be one of the key costs associated, and then also the software license associated with it. So okay. Those are the two main components of those ongoing costs for the out years.
Now, it seems to me once you build this, a lot of state agencies would like to be able to use it. Do you contemplate that?
They will have access to the portal. The portal will be open to other state agencies as well as providers.
And will there be a fee for them to use it?
No, there will not be a fee. They will just need to create an account, and those accounts will be monitored and ensured that those applying for an account are, one, legally able to review the information from the website, and that their account is secure. So,
well, that may be terrific. This might be then to DPS. You've mentioned, it sounds like there's going to be some push notifications. So if someone gets cleared today and then gets a disqualifying offense 3 months from now, is this system going to pick up that new offense and notify whoever the agency is that submitted the name?
It will not pick it up immediately, but we will be doing push notifications whenever possible. So it won't pick it up immediately, but providers will be able to log in. State agencies will be able to log in to see that for the registries. The DPS offenses are a little bit different, and those are the ones that will not see those push notifications.
And so what's a disqualifying offense, an arrest or a conviction?
A conviction. An arrest can result in suspension of the card. The conviction results in the revocation of the card.
So if a person is in the registry and then is arrested for allegedly molesting children, it won't automatically tell you that. Is that correct?
The portal will get that information. The tricky part in the notification process is there are certain legal requirements for information to be shared, especially around arrests prior to conviction. And right. So that is what is limiting our ability to do push notifications when it is an arrest, but not a conviction.
Yeah, I deal with that all the time. So, let's move to the next step. So if the person is now convicted, will it push out to you a notice that the person's been convicted?
It will push a notification to the portal, and then we can make that information available. When an individual is convicted, their card is revoked, and so that status would change to revoked.
But does the agency who has that person, do they have to go into the portal and check periodically to see, or will they get a notice you have an employee that has had their card revoked?
I believe they would have to go in and check, Mr. Byers. I will clarify that and get that information.
I know it gets complicated, but here's one thing I just will give you some thought as you're designing this. The DPS has all sorts of restrictions on, as you mentioned, arrest information and even conviction information, which are part of the FBI regulations. A lot of agencies not only check DPS, but they check our court lookup system, because our information is public. It's kind of odd that if you get arrested or convicted, our information is all public, on the same people that for DPS it's restricted. And so I know when some of our things we do, like for pretrial, we check both. And so I just throw that out for you guys to think about, because you could look to the court's K-Listed lookup system and you would get the arrest information, and there's no restriction on that, as well as the conviction information. So thank you. Good project.
Appreciate that. And we will definitely reach out to you and the folks over at the courts, Mr. Byers, to see how we might be able to partner on that.
Thanks, Mr. Byers. Any other questions from committee members? If there are none, I'll turn it back over to Bob.
Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, ASSET is recommending that this PIDGE be approved with the conditions as presented.
Okay, any question or discussion on the conditions? All right, if not, I will entertain a motion with regard to the project.
Mr. Chairman, I'll move with enthusiasm the approval of the project.
Thank you, Mr. Byers. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Mr. Lang. All right, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? All right, thank you, committee. That's a unanimous vote. Mark and team, go forth and implement.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, members. Appreciate it. And thank you for the time this afternoon.
All right. Okay, we'll move on to our next item, which is a change request coming to us from the Department of Education on the Educator Licensure Certification Replacement System.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. My name is Justin Modulin, and I'm an engagement manager with the Department of Administration. I'm joined here today by members of the Department of Education who will introduce themselves after a brief overview of the project. The Educator Licensure Certification Replacement System was originally approved by the committee in January of this year. The aim of the project is to implement a modern cloud-based solution to develop a new educator certification system. The new system will support the high volume of license and certification applications to improve processing times and enhance reporting. The Department of Education is here today seeking approval to extend the expected end date of the project from September 30th, 2023 to March 31st, 2024, due to minor technical delays in the project. I will now turn it over to the project team to present additional information regarding the project and answer any questions you may have.
Thank you, Justin. Next slide. Hi, everyone, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. I'm going to go ahead and introduce the project team that we have with us today. I am Beth Neely, the Chief Information Officer for the Department of Education. On the call today, we have Sid Bailey, the Associate Superintendent, Bruce DePlenty, the Deputy Associate Superintendent, Kiran Nero, the Director of our IT Program Management. We have Venkesh Ethraja, Project Management Office Manager, and we have Deepika Kushwaha, the IT project manager for the project, and Joe Carrillo is with us as well, our chief technology officer. Thank you. Next slide. Justin already discussed briefly that this project was originally approved in January of 2023. It is the modernization of our certification system. You can see some of the key features in addition to what Justin talked about was portals that this application will provide to the agency, to our educators, and also to the public. Next slide, please. I'm going to go over briefly what the change is about. As you heard from Justin, our change request today and our ask is the approval to extend the timeline by 6 months from September 30th, 2023 to March 31st of 2024. There is no change in scope. There is no additional increase in the budget or the funding ask. Once we hit March 30th of 2023, it will shift to just a different funding source. So one of the things I want to talk about and the reason that we're asking for the change is this department and the vendor Mainstream engaged on a very wonderful endeavor actually to get ASRAMP certified and meet the security requirements for the state of Arizona. While you're going through that ASRAMP certification, there's some restrictions. So as an agency, we're not able to share data necessary sometimes for the development and the quality assurance while that process is going on. So that ended up being a little bit restrictive to us and causing a little bit of delays when it came to testing integration, doing some quality assurance tasks. I do want to say congratulations to Mainstream, everybody at Homeland Security, and the team at ADE. Mainstream was able to obtain ASRAMP certification, and we have gotten a thumbs up and ready to go. But that explains a little bit of why we're asking for the extension, that during that delay, when we could not share data, there were some things that we did not get to get completed. Next slide, please. This was the original timeline. You can see the red arrow is where we're sitting today. And if we go to the next slide, I can review with you the changes and what we would be doing. So there's no change in the revised start date of the development, but you can see the revised end date of the development would go from August to February. The user acceptance testing would move from September 23 to March of 24. The go live for September 23 to March of 24, and then final invoices paid in March of 2024. So final slide. So that is our ask today for the 6 months extension. Again, no change in budget, no change in the scope on what is going to be delivered. And I'll open it up for any questions.
All right, thanks for the overview, Beth. Committee members, any questions? Rebecca.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Beth. Could you just clarify a little bit more that there's no change in budget, but there's a change in fund source?
So yes, I'm going to try, and I know I think I have Bruce on here to back me up. So currently today, this project is funded through CARES funding, and CARES runs September to September. So unlike our fiscal year. So when September of 2023 hits, the CARES fund that it is using today ends, and we're going to switch to the next year's CARES fund. Does that make sense? Okay, great. I hope I answered that. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Any further questions? If there are none, I'll turn it back to you, Justin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members of the committee, ASSA is recommending that the change request be approved with the conditions as presented.
All right, these are our standard conditions. So if there are any questions or comments on the conditions, we can move forward. I will entertain a motion with regard to this change request.
Mr. Chair, it's Eddie. I move to approve the conditions as presented.
Thank you, Eddie. Do we have a second?
This is Jiggy. I second, Chair.
Thank you, Jiggy. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? All right. Thank you, committee. That's a unanimous vote. Beth and team, thanks for the update and good luck with the continued implementation.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee for your time today.
All right. We will move on to our next change request review, which is the Department of Administration bringing forward a change request regarding Business One Stop.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. Once again, my name is Bob Mussey. I am an engagement manager with the Department of Administration. I'm joined here today also by members of the Department of Administration who will introduce themselves shortly, followed by a brief overview of their project change request. Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, on June 29, 2021, ADOA Asset approved the original project investment justification to develop a portal that provides a single online location to help citizens, business, and businesses plan, start, grow, move, and close businesses in Arizona. Having now completed phase one, this change request is to begin phase two of this project. Phase two of the project will focus on features that enable entrepreneurs to create and manage partnerships, trade names, and trademarks. I will now turn it over to the project team to present additional information regarding the proposed change request and answer any questions that you may have.
Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Sabrina Canella, and I am here to represent Business One Stop. Also included on our team is Lisa Meyerson Marshall. She is the Chief of Enterprise Programs and Consulting, as well as Curtis Galuzzo, who is a Senior Business Analyst for Business One Stop. Next. As Bob explained, Business One Stop offers an alternative to the agency-based application process by providing users with a comprehensive business formation and management portal. In the first three phases of development, we sought to not only create the portal that allowed for the registration of businesses, but also for the planning of business before you got to that registration phase, as well as the maintenance of a business, the ability to run your business in the way that you need to, as well as eventually having some kind of close to that business, whether that be through termination, closing, or transferring a business in some way. In phase one, we were heavily focused on that planning and formation phase. We started with focus on LLCs, as well as the creation of trade names, trademarks, and tax licenses. In phase two, we seek to continue our work on maintenance, as well as continue to branch out in the partnership space. We would like to enable entrepreneurs to create and manage partnerships. We would like them to be able to manage their trade names and trademarks. We would also like to provide single sign-on access into easy taxes, by which we would be able to enable entrepreneurs to manage their tax licensing. Finally, we'd like to integrate a new state-level agency. We're currently in a research phase at this point with various agencies, but we have not yet decided on one, landed the partnership there. I hope to continue to provide some more context to our phase two plans on the following slides. Before we get there, I want to do a little bit of a review of our phase one. The program identified several distinguishing highlights resulting from phase one development efforts. Of these, 97% of applications were started and submitted on the same day. This is something that we were able to find looking at data from the beginning of the applications back in August of 22 through to about 2 weeks ago when I put together the slides. Business One Stop now offers the ability to form 8 different business types, as well as the ability to access your tax license, trade name, and trademark. Today, we also offer the ability to manage all life cycle stages of LLCs and PLLCs. This is done in the same way as you can manage those businesses within the ACC's eCorp system. We also offer all of our services in Business One Stop at no cost to the entrepreneur, which can save them hundreds of dollars in pass-through fees through other similar third-party applications. Additionally, we offer instant approvals on almost every application that is accessible through Business One Stop, which reduces the expected wait time for entrepreneurs by anywhere from 2 to 4 weeks. Next. Additionally, I'd like to highlight some of the lessons learned that we found in phase one. The program identified several risks that required cross-agency effort to control and remediate. The program will continue to remain keenly aware of these risks in order to seek proactive mitigation efforts. Of these that I'd like to identify for the group today, first one, synchronized development across an interconnected system with five agencies proved to be very challenging. One of the top reasons was agile project management was very difficult for some of the agencies to adopt and embrace. And when I say this, I want to key in on some of the major areas. Scoping of a deliverable product, moving to an iterative release schedule, as well as sprint tracking, proved to be really difficult for some of the groups to work through, as it wasn't the way that their software development teams were working at the time. Additionally, the disconnected and desperate. Technology environments resulted in difficulties across all levels of the development life center. Additionally, we had legislative priorities that proved difficulty for the overall roadmap planning.
For a second.
Sabrina, we lost your audio for about 15 seconds there. So I think if you could catch up in the synchronized development discussion, just maybe summarize your comments there and then pick up with the legislative priorities.
Yep, absolutely. So synchronized development was really difficult across the five agencies. One, because the agile project management implementation was difficult to really embrace by some of the agencies. We were asking software development teams across five different agencies to move into a way of scoping out a valuable product that could be released, continually scoping out iterative releases through sprint management. And this simply wasn't the way that all agencies were moving. So we had to really kind of implement these core concepts as we were trying to get through the development work. Additionally, the disconnected and disparate technologies made it really difficult. So what I mean here is every agency was kind of running in their own independent system that typically was not connected to any other agency. And if it was, it was in a very small connection, which made the overall kind of cohesiveness of Business One Stop difficult. Additionally, the technology levels were very different at each one of the agencies, which again meant that we had to be very creative and we had to make sure that Business One Stop was dynamic enough to reach each one of the agencies where they were. Moving on to the legislative priorities. Throughout the course of the year and a half that Business One Stop was going through development, there were several legislative priorities that arose which affected roadmap planning across phase one and phase two. This was something that as project teams, we knew we had to move around and we had to understand how that could affect resource engagement. Additionally, we had constraints with agency partner contractors. So within some of our agencies, we knew that some of the technology was owned outside of the agency itself, and we had to rely on the schedules of their contractors. Okay. So moving on to the request for phase two. Today I'm bringing forward a change to the budget, scope, and timeline. So on budget, we are seeking to spend about $6.5 million on phase two. This is an adjustment of about half. The budget has been reduced to align with changes within the timeline and scope. So I'll go over those changes in timeline and scope as well. We are asking to descope all work for the ACC. We're asking to rescope work planned for DOR. This will be a replacement of some features. For ACC and DOR, the planned work is being reduced as both agencies have conflicting legislator-approved projects. For ACC, this is the replacement of their core business registration platform, eCorp. And then for DOR, this is a replacement of their internal tax licensing platform, AZ Taxes. In lieu of planned features, the DOR has committed to doing a single sign-on feature This will allow users to maintain a connection between Business One Stop and Easy Taxes. We find this to be a highly valuable feature, so we do appreciate the engagement of the agency there. Additionally, we are noting that we can adjust the scoped work for Secretary of State's office by adding to that scope. So the SOS has agreed to include additional features around the registration and maintenance of partnerships, as well as the trade names and trademarks. Finally, I'd like to identify a change in the timeline, as we will be changing from a project end date of June 23 to June 24. So requesting an expanded timeline of 1 year as we expanded the phase one timeline by a year as well. So presented here is an illustration of all scoped work that was initially planned for phase two, as well as the additions and substitutions. Within this illustration, the items reflecting a strikeout have been removed from scope, while the items that are added or replaced are illustrated in the bold text. For example, item number 9 under the Secretary of State's features, we see added domestic limited liability partnership and domestic limited liability limited partnership registration. Similarly, in the next column under DOR features, we see the replacement of replacement of single sign-on feature to AZ taxes, and then the removal of the initially scoped items. I would just like to highlight that while we are doing a significant amount of development during phase two, the program is also engaged in the maintenance of phase one features, as well as onboarding a new partner. Presented here is a breakout of the phase two budget as categorized by professional services, program management, maintenance, miscellaneous costs, infrastructure, and software. During this phase, the program intends to spend approximately $6.5 million as identified within the change. I will note this is the JLBC approved project spend for FY24. The following several slides provide a roadmap of the key feature sets that the program intends to deliver within phase two. These feature sets include several features within them, which you'll see on the next two slides. At a high level, the feature sets that we intend to deliver include partnership creation, the ability to submit annual reports for partnerships, the ability to make amendments to trade names and trademarks, the amendment of partnerships. I will note this feature set in particular includes a lot of different amendments, not only to the partnership itself, but also to the agents of the partnership. We will also deliver the AZ Taxes single sign-on. We hope to have several new UI and UX improvements that are driven through data we've garnered from user engagement, as well as additions of a new partner. As I noted, the next two slides will provide a detailed description of these feature sets, and that'll be organized by the month and the agency responsible for those features. You can just go to the next slide. So that's what we see here. We've got our quarters, our monthly breakouts, and then our agencies that are providing those features. I will say right now we are on track. We are actually moving a little bit ahead of schedule on each of the swim lanes, with exception to our new partner, as we have yet to define who that partner will be. And then if we flip to the next slide, we will see the remainder of FY24, January through June. I will note here, during the second part of the year, both ACC and DOR will be on a maintenance and operations mode. We do hope to re-engage the ACC towards the end of the fiscal year with some items that are kind of pushed forward into the future phases.
Okay. All right, with that, we'll open it up for any questions from the committee. Mr. Lang.
Hey, Sabrina, a couple questions. First would be, what is the de-scoping of those features doing to the overall vision for the application?
Yeah, certainly. So as an overall vision for the application, I don't think that the de-scoping necessarily affects Business One Stop as a core program. And I say this because all of the features that we have taken out of phase two, we have moved forward into phase three. With respect to the ACC, what we've done is we've taken the ability to form corporations, and we've really moved that forward into a potential phase three. This does not impact our ability to plan, create, or manage LLCs, which we already have in Business One Stop.
So do we have commitment from those agencies that they are going to follow through in future phases of the initiative?
So when we were working through our ISA, one of the key agreements that we made was we can't continue to develop new features while the agencies are undergoing core system replacements. So we agreed that we would hold off on these features while they underwent that development, and then continue to replan for the addition of features once they were in a more stable position.
All right, and then this is more just for my understanding. So when you were going through timeline changes, budget changes, is the expanded timeline simply due to where phase one landed in terms of how that impacted schedule for phase two? Because if I'm correct, it looks like budget went down, but we're asking for more time.
Exactly true. So we ended phase one in June of 23. So we're essentially asking for, you know, the remaining year, and then we'll use 1 year as a budget. We're asking to end phase two in 1 year.
Okay, thank you.
Yep.
Rebecca.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to jump on and also mention for Doug that the funding for the two agencies that have been de-scoped, there was an additional footnote in the budget this year that required those agencies to report on how their new systems will integrate with Business One Stop. So there is some mechanism on the legislative end to get that information as well.
Sounds good.
And I'll add my own color commentary, Doug, which is, you know, as each of these agencies, specifically DOR and the Corporation Commission, you know, get through their system replacements, part of what we need to look at as they get their new systems in place is going to just be reviewing to say, okay, are there any new or different gaps in the continued focusing on, you know, providing good business value for the investments that are being made to ensure that we're automating the right things and bringing the right, you know, serving the right audiences with this. So that'll continue to be a focus, I think, as the program moves forward.
Sounds good. And I mean, obviously, there's core systems across the board that need to modernize and be replaced. It's just a matter of when you have a program like this at some level with the investment involved, the commitment needs to be there to get to the finish line.
Agreed. Mr. Cook.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My question is back to the partner that you mentioned as it relates to the next phase. How critical is the partner as it relates to the success of the program?
Yeah, so I do think that in order for Business One Stop to truly be a one stop, there is an important integration of additional partners here. Today, we provide the core services that allow a business to get started. However, we are critically missing some of the integrations with the specialty licensing, as well as the intergovernmental component. So I do think that it's important that Business One Stop continue to expand in order to truly provide a wraparound service for entrepreneurs in Arizona.
So is there a point where, let's say, your team is unable to, let's say, you know, secure, you know, those partners, you know, again, back to the project and a success, is there a point where this becomes critical and, you know, we're now looking at, you know, expanding the timeline, or we're asking for more funding? Like to understand what that might be.
Yeah, Mr. Cook, I think that we would have to continue to explore what that looks like. I don't have the best answer for you right now. I don't intend to continue to expand the budget simply because we can't find partnership. I would also hope that out of the 120 plus boards, commissions, agencies at a state level, we could find someone to be our friend.
Thank you.
All right, any other questions from the committee? If there are none, I'll turn it back over to you, Bob.
Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, Asset is recommending that the change request be approved with the conditions as presented.
All right. Any questions or comments on the change, or I'm sorry, on the conditions? If there are none, I will move forward and I will take a motion with regard to this change request.
This is Ryan. I motion to move forward with the conditions as presented.
Thank you, Ryan. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Doug. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? All right. Thank you, committee. That's the unanimous vote. Good luck, Sabrina, with continued development.
Thank you.
Okay, this will take us forward to our last item, which is an informational update. There will be no vote on this item, and it's regarding the Department of Education and the school finance payment system.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. My name is Michael Carpenter. I'm an engagement manager with the Department of Administration. I'm joined here today by members of the Department of Education who will now introduce themselves and provide the committee with an informational update on the status of the school finance payment system project.
Thank you, Michael. Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. I'm going to go ahead and introduce the team members that we have on the call today. We have Art Harding, Chief Operating Officer, myself, Chief Information Officer, Joe Creo, our Chief Technology Officer, Kieran Nero, the Director of IT Program Management. We have with us Tim McCain, the Deputy Associate Superintendent of School Finance. He is the product owner. We have Suda, our product manager and project manager, and Venkesh, our project management officer manager. I do want to make note that you probably see a lot of other guests on the call today, as today is a little bit of a celebration. So we have asked the entire team that can make it of the school finance team to join us today on this call. Next slide. As I said, today is an update and also to discuss a little bit of the success of these past couple of years on the school finance payment project. I'm not going to obviously read all of the names on the slide, but you can see we've had many current IT team members that are currently participating in the project. And we do want to recognize a lot of the former team members that participated over the last 2 years of this project. Next slide, please. Also from the business, you can see that we've got six current team members from the business. And again, also recognizing some of the former members that have participated along the way from the business. I want to thank all of them, present and past, for their participation, their dedication into seeing this project through the completion of phase two, and let them know that I do look forward to the last year ahead of us. Next slide. So I'm going to give you a brief update on the project. Phase one had been completed. Phase two has completed, and what we are here to celebrate today is the new school finance budget AFR system successfully went live on June 15th for ADE. So huge milestone, wonderful success. Congratulations to everybody who has participated. And I will give you some of the stats since the go live. I was delivered the stats today. There has been 2,387 files submitted successfully. Among those, that total, 1,185 had a status of processed. 1,005 were processed with warnings or informational status, and 197 were rejected for the LEAs to correct and submit. So wonderful numbers since go live of July 15th. I was talking to someone today and they said it was the quietest go live we've had. And I think it was wonderful that it was a quiet go live. So huge success to everybody. The work in phase three, we've had three budget reports that went live already in July. And one of our critical deliverables is the SAFR report, that MVP. And the demo for the SAFR report is scheduled for us on August 25th. And that will be one of our next big MVP successes. Next slide. So what I want to do a little bit differently is I always get the privilege of speaking to you, Mr. Chairman, and members of the committee and giving you our updates. So I'm going to allow the people behind the scenes, the people that have been working hard on this for the last couple of years, give you a very brief overview of some of the highlights and some of the things that we have learned along the way as an agency related to this project. So for this slide, I'm going to turn it over to Tim McCain, the product owner, and Clyde Nibb, who's our architect, and they can give you a brief highlight of some of their area successes through this project. So, Tim.
Thank you, Beth, Chairman and committee. We have had a great success with this, with the new system, with the budget and AFR system going live. There's been great communication between IT and school finance. I think that Beth could probably tell you, and probably some others, that I think the relationship between IT and school finance is probably better now than it has ever been in the past. We've fostered a great relationship between the two teams. At every roadblock we've encountered, we've successfully offered solutions, both from the IT side and from school finance. We've collaborated together to come up with solutions to each and every roadblock and problem that we've faced. And we've been able to overcome intense turnover. We're now on the third product owner. I'm the third product owner for this product. And we've also lost some other analysts that have been on the team. And with each time that we've had turnover, we've been able to onboard new people and get them up to speed very quickly and continue on with the project and continue to see its success. I think, Clyde, you're up next.
Thank you to everyone who has supported us on this project, especially the committee on ADOA. We have had, as Tim pointed out, and by the way, we did not collaborate on the notes together. We had great support from his team and within our team. And we've been pleasurably coordinating with the Auditor General's office. That's been very successful for us. And we also have had a tremendous amount of effort in place from our developers, our QAs, our business analysts to pull through a tight schedule with some major challenges. And the people, on my mind, are the success that we've had on this team as much as any code we've written.
Thank you, Clyde. Next slide, please. So now I'd like to turn it over to some other key players, our project manager, Suda, Akumar, our lead developer, and Sindhu, our QA, to discuss some of their area success through this project.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman. This is Suda Mantraprakada. I'm the project manager. I've been the business analyst lead of this project since its inception. Some of the key success highlights for the BA team have been the extensive contribution in gathering requirements and putting those markups for all the intricate details, especially when it comes to the budget system, since we're rewriting from an old system keeping in mind all the functionality they've had and giving the additional auditability and the flexibility. So building those markups and documenting those requirements was critical. The next highlight is we've had a very excellent teamwork. We've had a team of BAs. So the coordination within the BA team plus the coordination with the IT development QA business teams has been wonderful to complete requirements that went parallel with very stringent deadlines. So those were the business analyst highlights. Thank you.
Kumar?
Good afternoon, Chairman and committee members. I'm Kumar, lead developer of the Department of Education. Key success of development of this project is exceptional teamwork to handle the stringent deadlines and complex workflows, and extensive analysis of each phase of the project, like calculation design, calculation and report design of the application, and to create the end product. We got very good support from BAs, school finance team, and the QAs and BAs. So that is really exceptional, which supports us to complete the development as for timelines.
Thank you, Kumar.
Yeah.
Sindhu.
Good afternoon, Chairman and all the team members. I'm Sindhu Gopisetty. I'm the lead quality analyst. So the timely coordination with the dev and the business team during the requirement phase, which helped us in avoiding delays during all the testing we have done in the lower environments. And the UAT deployments were done within the project timelines with very minimal defects, and performed regression testing to ensure application works as intended. Like whenever we get the new code changes, we do the regression testing and push the code to the user acceptance testing environment. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Sudha. Next slide. So one of the things that I did want to share, because it has been a couple of years and we have another year to go, is through the process, through oversight, through, as Tim said, the change, extensive changeover that we've had, we've learned a lot of lessons along the way, and we thought it would be really good to share with the committee the lessons that we have learned along the way. And some of the things that we've grown from the process. So again, I'm going to turn it over to Sudha and Kiran, and they'll go through a couple of lessons learned to share with you guys for us along the way. So Q or Sudha, you're going to go first, I believe.
Thank you, Beth. So on the school finance business team, they've had their share of lessons learned where, you know, we've realized the need for documenting the procedures, the regular procedures when involving calculations, so they can provide a clear pathway for tracking the interdependencies and how it impacts the other calculations. And then we also realized we need to exercise greater caution when, you know, backing up data to avoid repetitions and redundant actions. And the primary lesson learned, another one is, you know, direction and priorities change day to day because they have their day to day work plus they're working with the IT team. So the flexibility is what was built into the team to enable the success of this project. And moving on to the BA team lessons learned. In the initial phase of, in the initial period of phase two, we observed that lack of process flow diagrams, the detailed process flow diagrams were causing issues, you know, leaving a little bit of gaps between requirements and the business team expectations. So we started building more process flow diagrams and reviewed them with business to fill those gaps. That has tremendously helped the BA team. And more development team lessons learned, when there were complex functionalities like calculations where we are taking the legacy calculations and rewriting them, we learned that the time needed to analyze that was not sufficient. So we had to remedy that by working together, building some extra time to put that together and finish the end product, cleaner end product. And then report generation process, that was another one where we learned that testing it with larger number of LEAs, larger number of calculations was very critical. So that those were the lessons learned for the development team. And in the QA team, lessons learned, we realized that building QA metrics to compare QA versus UAT versus prod issues was very critical to learn understand the process improvement areas. So that is another key lesson learned for us.
Thank you, Sudha. Next slide, please. Kiran.
Hello, everyone. Thank you, and thank you very much. Sorry, I'm a little bit nervous. So I just want to say kudos to this project team. They have done a phenomenal job. I know Beth has expressed appreciation for the team. This team has worked on a lot of very intricate calculations and whatnot, very technical issues, and they always pulled through. The collaboration between school finance and the project team is better than any project team that I've probably ever been on in my life. This team works very cohesively. They jump in there and learn and problem solve together, and they do it as a team. It's phenomenal. I would be remiss to say that the collaboration the team has, and even though they have that going on for themselves, we probably wouldn't be in the position we are in now without the assistance of ADOA. Les watches that schedule like a hawk. He lets us know anytime there's a little bit of slippage, and the team is on it. From a lessons learned perspective from the PMO side of the fence, what we'd like to do is empower the project team to establish a project management log, which encourages them to report on risks. What we found initially was that there was a reluctance to report risks. Seemed like there was some sort of a fear that it was would be treated as more of a gotcha type of situation. But I think after we've learned, we work with the team to get them to start using this project management log and documenting risks in working with the leadership team, ADOA and executive steering team to help with mitigation strategies. I think what it has done is it empowered the team to know that you can report risks. It's only gonna help with your collaboration in mitigating those risks and get over that hump, right? The other thing that we learned was I learned from a PMO perspective is there seemed to be a lack of transparency in the earlier phases, and it caused some communication gaps. So what we tried to do with the project team is make sure that we're building strong partnerships with our oversight partners, ADOA Asset and Infotech. And that was, I think, very crucial to the project's success. And implementing a change management request form, which includes alternative analysis and impact analysis. We've taken all these three lessons learned and implemented them across the PMO. It's not just with the project team that we saw gaps, but across all projects. And myself and Venkesh have been working together to implement changes that we identify, including looking at templates that have been developed. I didn't log that, but that's one of the other thing that's good about this project. They've developed a lot of good templates that we could use for other projects. And so we're looking at those too and moving forward and how we can make things better at the PMO from a PMO perspective.
Thank you, Kiran. Next slide, please. All right, I'm back. Again, thanks for everyone for sharing your experience, some of the things you've learned, and some of the highlights of the last couple of years. And again, congratulations to all of you. So I will quickly go through our status update. As you can see, our project health card is overall green. On our budget, budget three spend through June of 2023 was 144,015. So currently we have no reported issues, and we currently have four active risks that we are tracking. So as you can see, a couple of them are some time off. We've got a revision of a milestone, and we've got the SAFR development schedule coming up. We talked about that big MVP. So we've got, next slide, financial burn chart. I do wanna call out that you guys will see in quarter four, you will see the negative number. This was due to the ACRO implementation that the state had, and it caused some challenges. So some of the invoices for January through April were not paid until May. So that's why you see a discrepancy for fourth quarter and that large variance. Next slide, please. What's next? So what's next up for phase three is completing the new work streams. We've got county jail, county juvenile, the certificate of the educational convenience, and as well as the SAFR reporting functionality. That is our next critical MVP. We're going to assess phase three timeline and budget surplus to potentially consider submitting a change request early quarter two to come back and see you, maybe complete some additional enhancements requested by the school finance payment team and some of the beta testers that tested with us. Be scheduling a rollover retrospective to seek some opportunities to refine and enhance and automate some manual processes, and use project documentation produced with assistance for the documentation review committee. So that is coming up next for us. Next slide, please. A project timeline as it sits today. We are currently sitting here with all of the, the in progress development going on. Again, our next milestone date will be August 25th for the SAFR deliverable demo. So final slide, any Q&A for us today?
All right, thanks, Beth. Committee members, again, we're not voting on this, but any questions or comments from you? Go ahead, Rebecca.
Thanks, Mr. Chair, and thanks, Beth. My comment is I really appreciate this presentation. It's well done, and I appreciate we don't get a lot of opportunities to sit around and talk about lessons learned and on the process. So thank you for bringing this, Mr. Chair.
No, I will. I'll pile on, and I just want to say, I mean, I have the same feeling. We don't often get to hear. I'll say from deep within the teams. Great to hear the level of collaboration, cooperation between the business and IT on this. I think that for any project like this, that is so critical for success. And you know, I know this is a project that has been getting tracked pretty closely, and had a lot of reporting here into ITAC, so we'd be able to see things along the line. But great to see it was tracking for success, and here you are. You know, again, I think a good celebration, and I see the opportunity to maybe pick up some additional enhancements before your funding runs out, which is, we don't see a lot of projects that have that opportunity. So kudos to you on that front as well. And to the entire team that's here, you guys did great work. Keep it up. And I just want to commend Beth, you and your leadership, as well as the leadership at the Department of Education for continuing to keep this project a priority and investing as needed the time and effort and focus in the organization to ensure this type of success. All right, that brings us to a close, folks, for our ITAC meeting today. Our next session was scheduled for September 20th, and we'll look forward to seeing you all then.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee.
Bye, everybody.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you.
All right, team, let's go ahead and end the streaming and the recording, please.